Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Asbury Methodist Village and Montgomery County take senior living to the next level, creating extraordinary opportunities for a fulfilling future. Work your brain and body in our new wellness center. Stroll our expansive campus and 17-acre nature preserve. Stay sharp with our resident-run college and find so many new ways to get involved and make a difference for others. Anticipate more from your retirement. Visit AsburyMethodistVillage.org today. Your future's here. Equal opportunity housing provider.
Want to create a breakthrough gene therapy or life-saving vaccine? Pioneer aerospace excellence? Take your hospitality tech brand international? Montgomery County, Maryland is where you can do all that and more. Use our ideal location next to D.C., diverse world-class talent, and our vast business resources to be the next company to make your mark and transform the world. Visit bnext.thinkmoco.com. That's bnext.thinkmoco.com to learn how we can help you create something remarkable.
You're listening to the Fantrax Podcast Network. Fantasy sports entertainment lives here.
Welcome to the Fantrax Prospect Tool Shed. If you love prospects, you came to the right place, as that's what this show is all about. Covering all levels of the minors to help give you an advantage in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
All right, baseball, fantasy baseball, and prospect fanatics alike, welcome to the Tool Shed. This is the Fantrax Prospect Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, episode numero uno. That's right. This is our first episode, this brand new podcast. I'm your host, Eric Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EricCross04 and all of my written work exclusively on FantraxHQ.com. Joining me for this brand new podcast is my esteemed co-host, also of FantraxHQ.com, Mr. Chris Clegg. You can find him on Twitter at RotoClegg. Chris, what's going on, man?
And Eric, I am super pumped. I've been looking forward to this for a while now, and it's finally here. So ready to talk some prospects and help people win their dynasty leagues, man.
Absolutely. And we've been working on this for the last about a month or so when we put a couple tweets out there promoting it. letting everybody know that we were starting this up. So I'm glad that we're finally recording our first episode here on the 25th of October during Game 5 of the World Series. It's always nice to have some baseball on the TV next to you and recording a fantasy baseball podcast on your computer. So
for sure.
Nothing better to do on a, Sunday night? I almost forgot what day of the week it is, which is, it's 2020, so who knows. A little bit of housekeeping here before we get into everything. As I said, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at AirCross04. Chris is at RotoClegg. And our podcast itself is at Fantrax Toolshed. Please subscribe to our podcast once it's on iTunes, which will probably be in a week or two, I think. But it will be there. We're aiming to get it on all of the, the major platforms, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, obviously, all the big ones. So just keep an eye out for, whatever platform you use, keep an eye out for it there, and it should be there soon. It'll definitely be on Spreaker. I hate saying Spreaker. I was supposed to say speaker. I got to add that R in there. Spreaker, right off the bat, that's what we use at Fantrax. So definitely will be there. And then, like I said, we'll get it on all the other platforms as soon as we can. But let's just get right into it here. Start off with a little show introduction here. Chris and I have been working together at Fantrax for... Chris, when did you come on at Fantrax? Like June or so?
Yeah, in June.
June, okay. So the last, 4 or 5 months now. We have pretty similar interests in what we like to talk about, what we like to write about. And we kind of like, let's collab on something here. And then a podcast was like the first thing that kind of came into both of our minds here. We kind of started talking about it, and we realized we had the same, pretty similar idea for what we want to do for our podcast, and kind of just do a prospects only podcast where there's a few of them in the industry, RotoWire, Welsh's podcast, Prospect One, and the Prospects Live guys, have a podcast, prospects only podcast. But there's not like a ton that solely focus on prospects. So we figured that's what we want to do. We both love talking about prospects, and so we'll be able to talk about, the top guys, deeper guys, first-year player draft, stuff like that, really hit on all levels and all kind of up and down the rankings here in the minor leagues, and try to help you, help you all win your dynasty leagues and even redraft leagues too, because this will be more focused towards dynasty leagues, but it'll definitely help, hopefully it'll help in redraft leagues as well for the, prospects to get called up and, guys you want to target in your redraft leagues. So that's going to be the goal here. We're going to aim for, obviously weekly episodes, about 40, 45 minutes per episode. Obviously that'll fluctuate with what we're talking about, but that's pretty much the premise. And we figured, we could have gone 7,000 different directions with this first episode because both of us have a ton of ideas for topics to talk about. We figured what's the most pertinent for right now? We both kind of thought a lot of people, their first-year player drafts are coming up. So I figured our first two episodes will be first-year player draft focused. This one we'll talk about, hitters, top guys, mid-round guys, some sleepers, and the later rounds to target. And then next week in episode two, we'll go over some pitchers. So with that said, let's hop right into that. Chris, what did you think of this draft class in general? Obviously, it was a very deep draft class, especially on the mound. What were your overall thoughts of this draft class?
It's definitely one of the strongest that I remember in recent memory. I mean, obviously you had Torque at the top of the class. No really disputing that he was the top asset going first overall, even though down the wire on draft day, there was some word that Tigers might go a different direction, but he was the undisputed top player, is the undisputed top fantasy aspect of the draft, in my opinion. And then from there, you have a lot of depth, man. Obviously, you've got guys like Austin Martin and Zach Veen. You've got the pitchers, Hancock and Lacy and Meyer. But there's a lot of depth from the top to bottom. And even looking at my FYPD ranks, you get from my 9th ranked player to my 20th ranked player, and they all present similar upsides, in my opinion. So the depth is really, I think, what stood out to me. And I think there was a lot of value to be had here for a lot of teams in real life and for fantasy, we're talking. And so for your FYPDs, this is a great draft. And honestly, it's a spot where if you don't really have a top three pick, I like trading back a little bit. I know we were going to talk a little bit about strategy, but yep. I like pushing back to the teens. And because, man, I'm telling you, there's talent. And if you get multiple picks in the teens, I'd much rather have that than a sixth pick. So a lot of depth, and we're going to definitely see that as we cover hitters tonight, and then we'll be covering pitchers next. We'll talk about how deep it really is.
Absolutely. You brought up something I was going to mention, too, about trading back. You definitely agree with that in the early part of the draft. But even, you know, as you get in the second, third, fourth round, you know, depending, I think most first-year player drafts are, I think five is kind of like the standard, and then you know, some of them are deeper. But if you have, like, you know, a second or third round pick and someone's looking to trade up and give you, like, two-fourths, two-fifths, whatever it may be, I'd be all over that this year because, like you mentioned, the depth, especially in the pitching side of things, is so, so deep this year. And there's really, you know, not a huge, like, you get somebody I have ranked like 35th compared to somebody I have ranked like 75th. There's not like a huge gap there. So if you can get two guys that are nearly as good, you know, for one guy, I would definitely do so. So this is definitely a good year to stockpile picks if you can. Cause you know, I've done two deep analysis on the next year's draft, but I've started a little bit, but from what I've seen, it's not going to be quite as deep as, or even as talented as the 2020 draft class. So, and I think I've seen others echo that too. Ones that really focus on the draft, like Mason McRae, and others like him, really said that, you know, this draft is better than 2021. So I would definitely be looking to stockpile as many picks as I could. There's so much talent, so much depth, like we've been saying. So, definitely look to get as many picks as I could. But starting right at the top, you know, you mentioned Spencer Torkelson. Like, he is, as much as I love Zach Veen, and everyone should know how much I love Zach Veen. I've been gushing about Veen multiple times. Maybe it's the Rockies thing. I don't know. Me and Rockies prospects, I don't know. There's like that connection there, and hasn't worked out for the most part. Hopefully it turns around on Garrett Hampson. Boom, there's the Garrett Hampson plug, episode one. but seriously, yeah, so I love Veen. I think he's going to be a stud, but Torque is the no-brainer for me at number one. I don't think I've seen a board without Torque at number one. He's just like, he's almost major league ready at this point. It looks like he's, you know, very advanced hitter, very advanced eye, double plus power, you know, at least an above average hit tool, I'd say. So he's not going to be, he's basically, I've comped him to Pete Alonso with more batting average and on-base potential. And, you know, yeah, Alonso had kind of a down year this year, but, you know, you're looking at 40-plus homers, middle-of-the-order masher, you know, maybe, you know, 280, I think, is a fair, you know, 280, maybe like a 370 OBP or maybe a little bit higher. See if that high walk rate from Arizona State continues over here. But, you know, I think we're looking at just a middle-of-the-order four-category beast that could be, you know, early-round pick in a few years. What do you think?
Yeah, and I even think he's up next year, which is crazy. Like you mentioned, he's ready to go. And you mentioned, I mean, the hit tool's legit, like above average, could even have 60 future hit, I think. So looking at plus hit there, he's got plus power, the plate discipline, just insane. I mean, he walked more than he struck out in college, which quite an impressive feat. You think if he does get that third base eligibility and he's first and third eligible, that's a huge plus for fantasy leagues. I mean, he has me drooling from a fantasy standpoint. I think you're getting a legit four-category stud. You mentioned 280 average. I think that's a good way to put it, 280, 290, potential 400 OBP, which may be pushing it, but that's the potential he has. And the power's 35, 40 home runs consistently. He's going to be a legit four-category stud consistently. So he's easily the top choice here. And you want him on your team. Like if you're sitting in that two, if you have like the third overall pick, like you should try to push up and get him, in my opinion. Try to get that first pick because he's that good.
He is. And for those, obviously nobody can see this, but Chris was like smiling through about 90% of that. That's how excited he is about Torkelson. me as well, obviously. So let's go with that for a second. Let's say you had like another top five pick. Let's say three. You said third. Let's go with that. So you had the third pick, and also like what other pick would you add to that and be okay with trading to get Torque? Would you go with like a third? And let's say you had eighth overall as well. Would you trade three and eight to get one?
That's tough because the depth, man, the talent is there. So that makes it hard, but you're going to have to. I mean, you're going to have to pony up that much, unfortunately. Yeah. But at the eighth pick, you're still looking at a pretty solid player. I'm thinking, I mean, just looking at our hitter list, I mean, the eighth hitter is legit. Plus, you factor in people are going to draft pitchers up there. So That's tough, man. I don't know if I would, because the stockpiling the talent. But then again, it's like Torkelson feels safe. You know, he feels safe to me.
He's the high floor, high ceiling. I'd say he probably has the highest floor up there. You know, Austin Martin's pretty high floor as well.
Yeah,
definitely higher floor than Veen. I think Veen might be close to Torkelson and upside just because he can add a little bit of speed as well. Not a lot, but yeah, definitely a combination. Like I always talk about that combination of ceiling and floor, and I think that's definitely Torkelson by a mile in this draft.
Yeah. So would you make that move? So if you had 3 and 8, and let's just off the top of my head, I think you have Martin 3. I have Martin 2 actually, but would you trade Austin Martin, knowing you could get Austin Martin and like Asa Lacy, would you trade them for the number one pick?
It's funny because that is my 3 and 8 is Martin and Lacy. you know what? I think I would. I think I'd be okay with that.
There you go. You've got it. You
answered my own question. speaking of top 10, let's just run down our top 10s real quick here. So we kind of talked about a little bit here. So I have Torque at 1, Veen 2, Austin Martin 3, Garrett Mitchell 4. I know I'm a little bit higher on Garrett Mitchell than most, but Reese White, another Fantrax writer here. I was talking with him about Mitchell a week or so ago, and he's actually has him 3 in his first year player draft ranking. So I found someone that's finally higher on Garrett Mitchell than I am. And then Nick Gonzalez 5, Hancock 6, Ha-Seong Kim. I might have butchered that. I'm sorry. He's going to be posted out of Korea, the shortstop. Asa Lacy 8, Austin Hendrick 9, Max Meyer 10. And since, you know, give you 3 more hitters here to give me my top 10 hitters. Pete Kerr-Armstrong, Michael Bell, Robert Hassel, and Austin Wells, the catcher, first baseman, outfielder for the Yankees. So that's my top 10 hitters right there. Who do you got for your top 10 hitters, Chris?
Yeah, so Torque's obviously 1, Martin 2, Zach Veen 3. I've got Nick Gonzalez 4, but I was wavering on switching him and Mitchell as I've been watching more film on him. But right now, the top 10 currently have 4, Nick Gonzalez, Hancock at 5, Mitchell at 6, Lacy 7, Max Meyer 8, Austin Hendrick 9, Mick Abel 10. And that's – I haven't factored in the – this was just from the draft. So this was not including the international, which I have not factored in yet into my rankings. So obviously you've mentioned that Kim is a potential instant impact. And so whenever he's been going to be posted and signed, so he definitely slots in there. And so then there's 4 pitchers in the top 10. So then I've got Robert Hassel after that. Ed Howard and Pete Kerr-Armstrong, then Isaiah Green, actually. So I think that'd be my top 10 hitters.
All right. Yeah. So I have Green's. I love Green as well. We can talk about him in a few minutes here. I have Green and where did I put him? 20. And then I have Ed Howard. Should be right in that general. 19 areas. I should be right in that general area. So we definitely have pretty similar top 10. I love, okay, we're not getting into it. I love Micah Bell there. I'm not going to get that'll be next week. But it's a pretty similar top 10 with just a little bit of, you know, shuffling going on here. Let's go with Ha-Seong Kim here for a second. I hope I'm saying that right. But he was recently posted. So you know, most, even though all the J2 guys won't be signed until January, a lot of leagues will probably have their first year player draft before then. But I think most leagues will probably, you know, incorporate those or maybe even have a separate one for international guys. But you know, Kim, like you mentioned, you know, it's going to be posted here out of the KBO, Major League Ready shortstop. I've kind of digging into him after I saw his – I had heard of his name, but I hadn't really dug into it because I wasn't sure when he'd come over. And Tim McLeod's great for, you know, the overseas, you know, in the Asian, you know, continent. You know, he does a great job covering those guys. So if you ever want to learn more about, you know, prospects from that region, you know, Tim McLeod is your guy, whether you're on Facebook or Twitter. He's on both. So I'd definitely hit him up if you got some questions there. But, Kim, from the looks of it, he just does everything well. He doesn't have, like, one standout tool. Like, I don't know if there's any, like, you know, plus or better tools, but looks like he could be above average hit, you know, with at least average, you know, maybe a little bit above average in both the power and speed. So maybe he's a guy that, you know, hits 270, 280, you know, maybe at best first of some 2020 seasons, but maybe more like the, you know, in the mid to upper teens for home runs. But, you know, if you're a win now team, that I don't want to wait on Zach Veen for 3, 4, 5 years. I don't want to wait on a Micah Bell or someone like that for a few years. Then you want someone that's going to help you out the next year or two, and you're sitting, you know, back of that top 10. I think Kim's a great pick for that range.
Yeah. And the thing is, the difference in Kim and most of the Korean prospects that get posted, most guys that are posted are 30 and Kim's only 25,
yep.
which is a huge plus. So you're getting a guy that could contribute a long time to your team. And currently his slash line is in the KBO is 309, 401, 529 with 30 home runs and 23 stolen bases. So you're looking at a guy that's going to give you an instant impact. And that's a huge plus. Like, hard to find in an FYPD draft someone that instantly impacts your team. So he's someone that I think is definitely worth checking out. If look into him a little deeper, it's hard to say how the numbers translate. Like, I haven't studied enough to see how the numbers translate from KBO over to the major leagues, but there's been plenty of guys that have done it and been successful. So there's no reason to believe that he can't come over and just get the job done. So probably taper the expectations, because you look at the numbers right now and you're like, holy crap, like, this guy's really good. I wouldn't expect him to come over and hit 300 and be a 30-25 guy. Like, that's probably right. Unreasonable. But even if you get a 270 average with 20 to 25 homers and 15 to 20 stolen bases, that's a huge plus. Like, and looking at these other hitters and that you can take here, I mean, obviously some have more upside, but the instant impact is a big factor here.
Absolutely. And I forget who it was, but in our staff early mock draft that we're in the last round of, so it probably might even be done by the time this episode posts, but someone took him pick like 282. Now, maybe it was Jesse Roche, my co-host over on Five Tool. Might have been him, but someone took him in near pick 300. So even in redraft leagues, you want to throw like a late round dart at this guy. Just, hey, see how those numbers translate. If he's struggling after a few weeks or a month, all right, you cut him and get a hot free agent. So, no risk in, throwing a late round dart at this type of guy. If you have him on your team and even in redraft leagues. So, definitely some intrigue there. A couple others that we both have pretty high here. Pete Crow Armstrong, he doesn't get talked about as much as I think he should. Mets fans, Michael Simeone, every time I post anything positive about Kalanick, he's like, dude, stop doing this. In a playful way, I love it. But, Pete Crow Armstrong, I think, could be like, Jared Kalanick light. A lot of similarity. I think the one area where PCA drops off from Kalanick more so is the power. So I think he has a chance to be, an above average hit, plus speed. But he's slightly below, maybe average raw power. It's slightly below average in-game power right now. So maybe he's only like a 15 homer type down the road. See how his frame fills out. There's some projection on that frame. So we'll see how that fills out. But maybe he's more of like a 50, teens home run guy to add with like a, solid average, 25 to 30 steals in that general ballpark. But, I don't think, he's not going to be Kalanick, but I think Mets fans should be excited about, Pete Crow Armstrong. And if you have a pick in the teens, I think that's where I see, I have him at 11 overall, including, pitchers and everything. So if you have a pick in the teens, I think it's where he's going for the most part. I think that'd be a great pick. Especially if you want some upside, because I said there's more power up. So I think that could be there. Maybe you see 20 home runs out of him. Maybe we'll see how the frame fills out, but definitely a nice little upside pick there that you can get in the, 15 to 20 range.
Yeah, and I've got him at 15th overall, and I think that you're going to get him in that range pretty consistently because people are going to chase the upside of some other picks. And you mentioned, we're pretty close on the projection. I've got him like at 280 probably peak, and then with like 15 home run, 25 steal type of guy. Even though some people won't get excited about that, but think about the amount of guys that are capable of doing that and how they impact your fantasy league. So the amount of guys that can steal 25, 30 bases are slim as is, but then you factor in a good batting average and solid power. I mean, he's not killing you in the power. So it's potential solid impact there. And I think a lot of people are going to underestimate him in fantasy drafts from that standpoint because they think that the upside's limited. But in reality, a 15-25 guy is legit, and that offers a lot. So, I'll definitely like him in the teens.
Absolutely. Yeah, another upside pick here, sticking on that trend. You know, we both have – you have him even higher than me, which is surprising. I haven't seen anybody yet with Isaiah Green higher than me. And I think I wrote it in my first-year player draft top 100 or said it on a podcast somewhere. If you're looking for the C.J. Abrams type of player from the – I'm not. It's not a direct comp, but just the Abrams type, the toolsy but raw – high upside type that could really take off, you know, if they hit the ground running in the Arizona League next year or the Gulf Coast League. Isaiah Green is my pick for that. Like there's a few that fit that mold, but if I had to pick just one, it'd be Isaiah Green. You know, he was picked 69th overall. Nice. By the New York Mets, who had a killer draft, I think, especially in their first few picks. But Green is a, you know, solid contact skills. I think he's kind of right with Pete Crow Armstrong in terms of, like, you know, I think he could hit like 275, 280, and maybe even more. We'll see how he develops. The bat's still kind of raw. And he's a prep hitter from Corona High School in California. But, you know, the speed is there for 30. This is a double plus runner, 30 plus steals. And so it's going to be up to the power, kind of with Abrams, how he's already shown a little bit of more power projection. You know, if the frame keeps filling out as it has with Abrams a little bit here, you know, if Green can add some power here, even just get up into the 12 to 15 home run range, pair with a good average, and all that speed I mentioned, you know, this could be a guy that, you know, he's already in my top 100 overall. I think he's in the 90s somewhere, but he hits the ground running. You know, assuming we have a normal season next year, and we got rookie ball back, and he just hits the ground running, and then kind of shows all those tools. And I think he got it. It's really shoots up, maybe not in the top 10 like Abrams is, or top 15 like Abrams is, but this could be a really big breakout guy. So he's a guy I'm targeting. If I have a pick anywhere near, you know, the 15 to 20 range, I am all in on Green right there for first year player drafts.
Yeah, for sure. And I've got him 16th overall, which may be high, but from the minute I started watching him, man, I just dreamed on the upside. There's likely a reason he fell so far in the actual MLB draft, and it's just the lack of track record he had compared to a lot of the other first-year guys. He just didn't have the track record that many of them did. But the upside's tremendous, and the handful of guys in this draft that can hit 20 homers and steal 30-plus bases are very, very slim, and he is one of them. So he's one of my favorite hitters in this class, honestly, like overall, thanks to the upside. Probably a low floor here, but the upside is tremendous. And honestly, like, most people are not even going to consider drafting him here unless you're like informed. So if you're listening, you know that he's worth this pick, but a lot of guys in your league may just totally bypass it. And they say, well, he was picked 69th overall. So, you know, a lot of guys honestly draft, I see it too often, guys just draft by the way that they were drafted in the MLB draft, which is nuts, but it gives you such a leg up. Like, you can probably get him in the 30s in some drafts. Like, and for some leagues, that may be like a third round based on how deep your league is. So I think there's some serious value to be had here with Isaiah Green.
Absolutely. I love people that draft off, like, have their rankings off, like, how, where they're drafted. I want all of those people in my league, like all of them. All right, let's take a quick break here. We'll be right back. We'll talk some more mid-round guys and some late-round sleepers for you.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. Welcome back from the break here. We've been talking some first-year player draft hitters in this debut episode of the Fantrax Prospect Toolshed. And I have not gotten the name wrong yet. I was worried I was going to call it my other podcast, The Five Tool. have not done that yet. So give myself a little pat on the back here. But yeah, so let's keep going here, talking some plenty more intriguing hitters. It's not just the top guys. There's so much hitting talent. And people praise the pitching talent in this draft, which they should. But there is a lot of hitting talent here. You know, both the safer floor guys and the ups higher upside lower floor guys. So a lot of talent here to be had here, mid rounds. And another one with a lot of breakout potential, but I think people are a little wary of him because of, he's a catcher now, but probably isn't a catcher when he makes his major league debut. But, there's a lot of value here. So, Chris, why don't you give me a little bit of give the listeners a little taste of Austin Wells.
Oh, man. Austin Wells, he could be a monster in Yankee Stadium. Oh. Again, kind of unknown where he ends up. Like, he's a catcher right now, could play some outfield, could play some first base. Who knows? But if he can retain catchability, like if he just catches enough to keep eligibility in fantasy leagues, like you're getting so much value here. I mean, Wells is a 55 grade hit for me with plus power from the left side, and that should play extremely well with that short porch over there in Yankee Stadium. And so I'm looking at him as a guy that can hit 280 with 30 home runs regularly, which is huge from the catcher position. You're not going to get that. And again, there's a big if here, like if he actually sticks a catcher, which if you draft him where they draft him, I think they've got to give him a shot. Like I imagine they give him a shot at catcher, but it's hard to say for sure, but very, very valuable. And I know you don't love it as a Red Sox fan, but
I know I said that too. I saw that pick. I was watching the draft and I saw that pick. I was like, oh, I love that from a fantasy perspective, but hate that as a Red Sox fan. Yeah, this type of bat, lefty power bat with good contact skills, like you mentioned that, with that short right field porch, which is like 150 feet away, he's going to do some damage there. Like anytime you get a lefty power bat in Yankee Stadium, it's you got to salivate a little bit, especially ones that can actually hit for a good average too, and aren't just like the Curtis Granderson 240 hitting 35 home run hitters. But Austin Wells, I actually have him ranked, I think, 13th overall. I originally ranked him in the 20s, and I even looked at, oh man, catcher or not, like he's going to be an absolute beast. And the good thing with the Yankees too, they have so many, good catchers throughout that system. They can, Josh Breaux and who's the catcher in that system? I'm blanking on his name. They all come to me at some point, but they have a couple of good catching prospects in that system. And, obviously they have, whether they want to, keep Gary Sanchez a catcher, or he's not a great defensive catcher, obviously, but the Yankees can move him around. So they can afford to maybe let him stay a catcher now, see if the defense comes around a little bit. He's never going to be, a gold glover, but maybe he can at least be passable back there, a stick, but we'll see. But, this draft too, with catchers too, we keep talking about the depth, and there's a lot of good catchers here. We don't go super deep in on these guys, but you got guys like Tyler Soderstrom. You got Patrick Bailey. You got Dylan Dingler. We went to Detroit, who absolutely nailed their draft class. Every one of their five or six, I think they had six picks. They went all college guys, college bats, if I recall, which they actually definitely needed with all that pitching they have in that system. They went Torque at number one, got Dingler, got Daniel Cabrera. They got Gage Workman. Those are a couple interesting guys right there in Daniel Cabrera and Gage Workman. And I think both of us are pretty high on both of those guys. So once you pick one of those two and I'll pick the other, we'll talk with these guys a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. So Workman is one of my biggest sleepers in the class, especially from a first year fantasy draft standpoint. He comes in as a third baseman, obviously, because he played in the same infield with Torque and Alike Williams. I think I said that right. But Williams was a stud shortstop. So yeah. Workman was more than capable of playing shortstop, which is interesting. He played some shortstop in the Cape League, I'm pretty sure. But Workman has big raw power from both sides of the plate, actually, as a switch hitter. And he's got a great projectable frame at 6'4". He's actually pretty young from a college draftee. He's only 20 years old because he enrolled early and was eligible to come out at 20, which was is a huge plus because he's got some plenty of physical projection left, like to grow, and then plenty of development also. I think he's best from the left side of the plate, actually. Needs to cut down on the strikeouts a little bit and work deeper into counts. Like, I think that's his downfall, but more than capable to be a guy that hits 30 home runs and then chips in 7 to 10 stolen bases. I think the batting average could be a question mark, but with where you get him, I think the upside's worth it. Like, I think he's going to go deep enough in first-year player drafts where he becomes a great value. And so really like Workman there. And again, like you mentioned, the Tigers just killed this draft. They arguably, I think, the best draft class there was. And so they knew what they were doing, man. They stacked up pretty solid there.
They did. Like I mentioned, they had an area of need in, you know, more advanced collegiate bats, and they absolutely filled it. I couldn't envision filling an area of need better than the Detroit Tigers did in this draft. So absolutely A-plus draft for them. I love Workman too. Like you mentioned, you know, he's pretty athletic for third base, and then he did play some short. Probably would have played short if it wasn't for Alika Williams there. You know, that Arizona State infield was just absolutely loaded. And they had Torkelson at first, Trevor Halver, who went in the fourth round, I think. No, maybe I'm way off there. He went to the Yankees, though. I'm trying to see where he go. Third round to the Yankees. Played some second base there. And then not so much the last year. He played second base earlier in his career a little bit, but more so on the outfield. But still, just that trio of Workman, Alika Williams, and Spencer Torkelson, first, short, and third. It's just, like, ridiculous. And I think Torque might have played some third, too, or more third if it wasn't for Workman. So it was kind of like a ripple effect. Alika Williams kind of moved Workman from short to third, who moved Torque from third to first. You know, all athletic guys. I love Workman, too. I think you're spot on with that. Good power, a little bit of speed can be added in. We'll just see how that bat develops. And if it does to the point where he can sit like 260 or so, you could have a very solid, you know, offensive weapon on your hands. And Daniel Cabrera, I think, is more of a – I think he's not quite as high upside as Workman. You know, I have him ranked higher than Workman, but he's I think he's a safer floor guy. Not a big dude. You know, he's 6'1", 195 listed. He doesn't – you know, you look at him at step into the batter's box, you know, at LSU. He didn't look like a masher at any point. He's like, obviously, isn't a 30-home run guy. But, you know, both the hit tool and his raw power – for me, are above average. I think he's 55 on both. So you could see a, you know, 275, 280 hitter in that general vicinity, you know, low to mid 20, you know, right, maybe at peak, maybe he gets up in the mid 20s, but I think he'll settle in, okay, into that low 20s area, you know, 20, 21, 22. Speed, he's not a burner by any means, but, you know, he's probably around average foot speed. I don't see him losing too much of that, and he's pretty aggressive too. You know, he likes to run, so I think he has higher stolen base totals than maybe his raw speed might indicate. But so maybe add him, you know, 15 to 18 steals there. He was really aggressive on the Cape Cod League in 2019, and that continued into, you know, the shortened 2020 collegiate season. But, you know, if he can add just double digit steals to, you know, 20 home run profile with, you know, 280 or so average, I think there's some value here. I ranked him 27th overall, and he needs another one. Like you mentioned with Isaiah Green, he was drafted 62nd overall by the Detroit Tigers. So, I could see some pretty solid value there. And then really quick, I just happen to see the guy that I have ranked right behind Cabrera, Jordan Walker. I just want to touch base really quick on him. He is almost another version of Nolan Gorman for me. And everyone saw how high I was on Nolan Gorman. He was my number one at one point in the 2018 first-year player draft, which I believed in. I still believe that was the right call at that point. But we saw, you know, massive, massive raw power, borderline 80-grade raw, but the hit tool, the chase concerns, you know, picking up spin, all those are there with Gorman, have been, you know, exposed by minor league pitching. And Jordan Walker's kind of cut from the same cloth, you know. Huge power, high school bat out of Georgia. You're not going to woods down there, Chris. But, you know, he's got a little bit of a longer swing. He's a big dude. I think he's like 6'5 or so. But if the hit tool can get figured out, he's you know, he could be a 35 homer bat. I truly believe that, but you know, I've been valuing hit tool and, you know, an approach more and more every year, every time I update my prospect rankings, and he just doesn't quite have that yet, but we'll see. But you know, he's another exciting one in the middle rounds here for sure. And then let's keep going on here. Because there's so much talent in these middle rounds here. You know, Chris, I know you're high on, speaking of power, and I think we're both high on this guy, Aaron Sabato. You know, kind of fits the Minnesota Twins first base corner outfield DH mold that they love, that they already had a massive logjam in. And Nathan Dawkins, well, he was pretty upset that they drafted Sabato, even though Sabato's a pretty damn good player, though, out of North Carolina. So, why don't you talk a little bit about Aaron Sabato?
Yeah, so we mentioned Jordan Walker. I like Walker, too, from the power standpoint. And I think Sabato has every bit of raw power that Walker does with a better hit tool. He kind of had a rough start to his college career at UNC, actually. First 14 games, he hit 185 with one home run, but his final 44 games, 380 with 17 home runs. He had shoulder surgery and was a sophomore-eligible prospect, so we haven't seen a ton of him, but he's a pretty patient hitter from what I've seen, and he mashes. Like, the raw power is definitely there. I think there's some similarities. You mentioned this comp for another player, but Pete Alonso, that kind of power with maybe a little bit better hit. So I think there's a lot to like here for Twins fans. I mean, you should really like this pick and what he has to offer. I know, again, it kind of just your log jam of first base corner outfield type guys, but really like Sabato. And I think that, again, a younger guy that was coming out, so a lot of projectability left in his frame, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I think he could be, you know, another 35 homer. He has nearly as much raw as torque, to be honest with you, but obviously the hit tool isn't quite there. But you know, if he can, you know, hit 250, 260 with all that power, I know the Twins feel like they have like a bunch of those guys. I think I just pretty much described Miguel Sano. But yeah, definitely huge power bat, a player I would definitely consider taking. I think I have him in the, I don't have him, 22, I want to say 23. I think that might be, you know, a little higher than a consensus I've seen. I think most people have him like around 30s or so. So, you know, after the first couple rounds, if you can get him after pick 25 to 30 or so, I think that'd be pretty good value for a guy that has, you know, like we mentioned, plenty of power and could be, you know, could shoot up prospect rankings here over the next year or two if he starts hot. Before we get on to the late round guys, one more here that I wanted to talk about. I just lost the name. Oh, Jordan, Nwogu. I don't know if you pronounce the W, not sure, but he's a guy I have ranked much higher than, I think everybody else. I haven't ranked 43rd overall. I think most people have him in the 60s or so, but this is a guy where you won't see him high on many first-year player draft lists or anything. He's a third-round pick, 88th overall, another guy that just wasn't drafted high. This is just a freak athlete, you know, where this could be a 30 home run, 15 to 20 steal threat due to all the strength and athleticism he has, but it'll all be up to the hit tool to see if he can get, you know, in the approach, see if he can get on base enough to run, the hit tool to see if he can get to the power enough. We'll see. One, you know, kind of detractor for him is that he's not like an 18-year-old prep guy. He was a collegiate bat out of the University of Michigan. So he's already 21 years old, I believe. So he doesn't have as much, you know, developmental time as most. Like if he, you know, so he's not going to have, you know, 4 years and then he's 22 and all these, you know, maybe the hit tool is better. No, he doesn't have that much time to kind of figure it out. But we'll see. You know, Cubs have, you know, shown that they can develop hitters. Definitely more so than pitchers over the last handful of years. So I don't think this is too bad of a system to be in for him. Not a great one, but I think the Cubs are decent enough that maybe they can, you know, help fix the holes in his swing, especially the mechanical issues he has. But if you want just a, you know, upside guy in the mid rounds of your first year player draft, I would recommend Jordan Nwogu. That's how I'm going to pronounce it for now until I figure out how to properly pronounce that, if that's not the right one. But he's another one I like here a lot. Before we get out of here, we got each to do a couple late round kind of sleeper breakout type of guys that we like, you know, outside of, you know, like pick 50 or so, whatever it may be. But We'll give you two each here. Chris, why don't you give your first one?
Yeah, sure. Well, I accidentally already said one in Gage Workman. So Gage Workman was one of my late round guys I really like. But the other guy I really, really like, and that's Jake Vogel, outfield for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Again, the Dodgers just doing Dodger things, man, scouting and drafting like extremely well. And they got him at pick 100, which was crazy good value in the MLB draft. And he's going to be incredible value for fantasy also. He's one of the fastest players in the class, and he was recorded oftentimes with 80 grade speed. We'll classify him as a 70 grade because throwing an 80 grade on anybody is pretty crazy. Pretty small, 5'11", 165. I say that as I'm a 5'9" guy right here. But he's got a very simple swing, barrels the ball pretty consistently, hits line drives well to all sides of the field. And again, the elite stolen base talent. I think it's pretty telling that the Dodgers gave him a $1.6 million signing bonus in a draft slot that was slotted for just $581K, which means they thought very highly of him. I see him as probably like a 270 hitter with 15 home run pop and easily 30 plus steals, which I think is extremely good value. And again, that's if he maxes out. Like, he could probably max out at 20 home runs and 40 stolen bases. But I think if you're looking at him as a guy who can give you good, decent power and elite steals with a good average, like, he's a guy that you're really going to want. Again, he's not going to be selected very high in FYPD drafts, which makes him a great late round target. Again, I don't really know what range I'm looking to target him at this point, because it's hard to judge like where others are looking at him. But again, I think you can get him later in your drafts and be very, very excited to get out of there with a guy like Jake Vogel.
Absolutely. I love Jake Vogel. Every time I've kind of looked into him, researched him, watched video, I think I like him that, you know, just a little bit more every time. And you know, especially if that power comes along, like you mentioned, if you can add 15 to 20 home runs in addition to all that speed and then a pretty solid batting average as well, I think he could be definitely one of the bigger steals of the middle rounds of this draft. There's a lot of those, you know, kind of guys in the middle rounds, you know, like, you know, shout out to guys like Freddie Zamora that could shoot up, Petey Halpin, you know, great, you know, kind of upside guy, went in the fourth round to the Cleveland Indians. So obviously great system there. Another one here, like Owen is it Cassie? I don't know. The first I throws me off. Owen Cassie from the Padres, but you have to pay the Padres tax, as you do with all you know, upside prospects from that system. And then I don't know whether I want to talk about him now or later, but shout out a guy like Mason Wynn, went 54th overall to the Cardinals, two-way guy. Not sure where he ends up, how long the two-way thing works out, but you know, he's definitely one of those upside guys where it could stick. He could be a, you know, very impact player on both sides of the ball. Casey Martin, another one. But a couple guys I want to talk about here, they're kind of two different ones, but I'll just hit on them quickly here. Two different types of players, I should say. You know, Kobe Mayo went 103rd overall to the Baltimore Orioles out of, you know, the infamous and not for good reasons, Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida. Obviously had that tragedy a handful of years ago. He is, if you don't want to pay for Jordan Walker, but you want a guy that could be pretty similar to Jordan Walker, then I think Kobe Mayo is the guy for you in later rounds. He is, obviously power is the calling card for this guy. Double plus raw power here. Hit tool obviously lags behind a little bit, but you look at this guy, 6'5". Frame here, and his swing is just geared for getting loft on the ball and mostly to the pull side right now, but this is a 30 plus homer bat in the making here. We'll see how the hit tool goes, but this is a guy where, you know, you can get him, like say, another one we talked about how the draft slot might affect, you know, where they go and maybe go a little bit later than they should. I have him ranked 60 in my top 100 since he's drafted 103rd overall. So you can probably get him later than 60. And I think this could be a guy that maybe ends up as one of the top 25 to 30 bats in this class, maybe one of the top 10 power bats in this class. See how that the hit tool comes along, and see, you know, how much of that raw power he can get into. But my other guy, who's very much different, but if you want a guy that could really just break out, fly up, you know, prospect rankings, you know, Hayden Cantrell is one that could, and also Werner Blakely. These two are both shortstops drafted late. Cantrell was drafted 151st overall by the Milwaukee Brewers out of Louisiana Lafayette University. And then Blakely was drafted 111th overall by the Angels out of Detroit Edison High School in Michigan. You know, one I really want to talk, I like them both as breakouts, but Blakely more so is a guy just because, you know, he's a high school guy. They weren't even sure if he was going to be drafted. So he wasn't even like on a lot of draft boards for the most part. But, you know, this guy could break out in a major way. You know, nice little power speed blend here. I think there's potential for above average to plus raw power, above average speed as well. 6'3", pretty strong athletic frames and with some potential for it to fill out. So you can even maybe project a little bit more power out of him. Maybe the speed kind of tails off to average. Maybe looking at a 6-hit, 5 speed down the road. But, you know, like we've kind of been saying with a lot of these, you know, upside guys, the hit tool, that's what's going to be driving this, you know, this value here down the road. And, you know, there's still some work to be done, some holes in the swing, but, you know, it's not like I wouldn't say he's like a 4-hit, you know, maybe slightly below average hit right now, but, you know, if you threw a 5-hit for a future projection on him, I'd be okay with that. So I might even do that myself. He's right around 5 or a hair below it for me. But, you know, if he can, you know, the Angels have been, you know, not too bad at developing, you know, hitters. You know, we got a couple of Joe Adell, just, you know, obviously his debut wasn't great, but, you know, Joe Adell, Brendan Marsh, you know, and another Jordan Adams, another guy that kind of has some hit tool and swing issues that they're trying to work out. But if they can really just mold Blakely and, you know, really get the most out of him, then I think he could be one that really shoots up over the next couple of years. But you got another one you want to talk about, Chris, or should we just get out of here now?
Yeah, no, I'm good, man. I had Workman and Vogel there for my sleepers, and you hit on some good ones there. So, man, a lot of – we didn't even cover half of the talent, which is crazy.
Right.
But that just shows how deep this draft class is. So, super exciting for a year for FIPD drafts.
Absolutely. Like we already touched on, you know, a couple of the guys in like the top 10 or 12, you know, that we had in our rankings, but we could have had, you know, a full episode just on those guys. There's a lot of talent up there. That just shows like, but we wanted to go, you know, a lot of people have been talking about those guys. So we wanted to get more of the mid round guys, some late round sleepers. So definitely. So you had Gage Workman and Jake Vogel as yours. And for me, Werner Blakely and Kobe Mayo is mine, along with Hayden Cantrell could be. And then Freddie Zamora, so many sleepers, you know, good upside picks, middle of the late rounds. And this was just hitters. We're going to go over pitchers next week. You know, this is just episode one. We'll do episode two next week with the pitchers, as I just said. This was a lot of fun. You know, we're going to get out of here now. Sort of approaching the 50-minute mark here, which is kind of where we wanted to be. But this was a lot of fun. Again, you know, follow both of us. I'm at EricCross04. Chris is at RotoClegg with 2 G's. And our podcast itself, excuse me, is at Fantrax Toolshed on Twitter. And make sure you check out Fantrax HQ. We got a lot of content pumping out right now. MLB season is coming to an end here. World Series is almost over, but we're still pumping out multiple articles every day, deep dives. Chris has done some incredible, you know, I think you've done 3 of them now on your StatCast pieces. Is that right?
Yeah, so wrapped up StatCast, covered about everything possible, but this week, the episode will probably be out by the time the article's out, but really just useful metrics when evaluating pitchers beyond StatCast. So that'll be out this week, kind of wrapping that whole series up, which has been a lot of fun, man. Really enjoyed doing that.
Yeah, those have been great. I've really enjoyed those. And if you want to get better at StatCast, definitely go check those out on how to evaluate both hitters and pitchers to, you know, maximize your research there. So, and we got, you know, prospect pieces, dynasty pieces, you know, early rankings. We'll probably have a recap of our mock draft out soon. So just a lot of stuff going on here at Fantrax HQ. Even over on the podcast side of thing, we got, you know, my 512 Fantasy Baseball podcast as well, which we're still doing weekly episodes. We have the For You Soccer Fanatics. We have Kick Around podcast. We have Fantasy Hockey Life. We're adding the Triple Play podcast here. They have baseball, basketball, and football. They just started basketball. And also the on-campus college fantasy football podcast with Scott Bogman, Eric Froton, and John Lobb. So a lot of podcasts ranging over all the sports. So definitely get over to Fantastic HQ for all your fantasy sports need, no matter what sport you love to play. But you know, obviously, if you listen to this, it's probably baseball. This was a lot of fun, Chris. You know, this is great to get our first episode out of the way here and onto the airwaves. We'll have episode 2 next week. We're aiming to release on Mondays. I'll record over the weekend and get those out Monday morning for everyone here. So, you know, until then, everyone, hope you enjoy the World Series. I know I am, and I'm pretty sure Chris is as well. And we'll see you again next week. Take care.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.